Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour time when we have dedicated and submitted ourselves to come together, the body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith, to study the Word of God. And as always, I'm grateful and I'm thankful to each and every one of you for joining us. For joining me, for joining us, because others are on the line as well. The title of our lesson is, Remember, Final Judgment is in the Hand of God. Final judgment is in the hand of God. And it's coming from Matthew 7:1-12. As always, I'm going to play a song. And we're going to come back and go to God's throne of grace where mercy can be found. And the title of the song is Here I Am. And it's Tamela Mayne. And that's Here I Am by Pamela Maine. And as I listened to the words in the song, it was just so beautiful to my soul. She's surrendering everything. She said even a song that she sang, she's giving it to God. We have to give everything to God in prayer and supplication. And we have to line ourselves up with the word of God, because that's how you get glory. And we should always be willing vessels to be of service for God. At this time, it's time for us to pray. If anyone would like to pray, you can press the one button on your phone. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, guide you to give up every perfect gift. You are our Lord, our Master, and our Savior. Lord, I just want to say thank you for allowing us to gather together one more day. Lord, I thank you for giving us this opportunity where we could come and share the word of God one with another. I thank you, dear God, that the Holy Ghost is going to give illumination and revelation of the truth. And Lord, I decrease as you increase. Allow the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my Redeemer. Lord, I thank you for allowing us to have come on this line for so many years. And you was always with us, and you provided the provisions, and you keep us coming back week after week. Lord, I thank you. And Lord, I praise your holy name. And I thank you for all that you have done and what you're going to do on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and thank God. Well, the title of the lesson is Remember the Final Judgment is in the Hands of Our God. We come in from Matthew 7:1-12. And I just want you to know tonight that I'm going to do a little background on judgment. And I want you to know the Bible is clear that God does not want people to be judgmental. See, that's what we're going to focus on, y'all. Judgmental. God does not want his people to be judgmental. Christianity teaches that people who do not have the entire picture as God does, since human viewpoints are thought to be shunned based on human limitations, people are not in a position to judge others well. So with that being said, and that's a great amount of that has been said. You know, I realized tonight the program is for me, because as I began to study the word of God, the Holy Ghost was talking to me, and I knew and understand some things about judgmental and judging. You know, many times we don't even pay attention that we do it, because we have done it so long, we continue to do it. And there's so many things that we judge. Just because if that's the mindset you have, that's whenever you see something or hear something, it'll go straight to being judgmental about the situation, the place, or the thing, or the person. And I don't want that spirit in my life. You see, and I'm going to give you a good example tonight about us judging with limited information. And what the Spirit did was led me to the book of Job, because in the book of Job, we see the Bible's best illustration of not being judgmental and realizing we have limited information. You see, the book of Job was being judged by man's perspective without all the facts. You see, in Job 34:21, it says, 21, 22, and 23, it says, for his eyes are upon the ways of man, and he seeth all his going. Therefore is no darkness nor shadow of death where the workers of iniquities may hide themselves. See, because God sees things you don't see. And 23 said, for he will not lay upon man more than that is right. God is a righteous and fair judge. And he should enter into, and he would, he should enter into judgment with God. See, the scripture is letting us know that God knows all things. And I chose that scripture because it amazed me that one of Job's friends had quoted this scripture. It lets me know that he understood who was in total control and who had the power to judge and who had enough information to make a righteous judgment call. He knew all of that because this is what he stated in Psalm 34. But yet, we see that he still judged Job with his own understanding. And in the end, he would be judged as he had judged Job. And the judgment is going to come on him from God. You see, we must be careful and understand that we don't have all the facts. Just as in Job's case, it was only a test orchestrated by God, allowing Satan to conduct the test. That's the prime example, how we can misjudge. They had good intentions, but they misjudged. Judged and missed the mark because they didn't have all of the information. God had not shared with them that it was only a test and that he was going to allow Satan to have his way with Job for a little while. But it was only a test. But they judged and they judged and they judged and they judged him. They even put him in the pits of hell for what they believed he had done. Judgmental, y'all. So I wanted to leave that because I thought that was the best illustration in the Bible about being judged by those with limited information. And you see, if we go into the scripture, Matthew, the 7th chapter, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. And the scripture says, hallelujah, judge not that ye may be judged. For with that judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. Come on, y'all. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured unto you. 3. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eyes, but consider not the beam that's in your own eye? Y'all know how that goes. How wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the molding out of your eyes, and behold, a beam is in my own eyes. Verse 5 get to tell us what they feel about what was just said. And it says, thou hypocrite. It says, first cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then shall thy see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eyes. The scripture is very clear. It's very specific. It's just letting us know, you know, judging. It's a serious thing. So we really have to understand what the word of God is telling us about this and then do it. You see, it's been said that when you point a finger at someone, there are several pointing back at you. You see, there's also said that people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. Come on, y'all. Many people use this verse in an attempt to silence their critics, interpreting Jesus meaning as, you don't have the right to tell me I'm wrong. You see, people take scriptures and they interpret it the way they want. They try to make it fit in their agenda. So they take out what they would like it to say, and that's what they go on. But you know, there's the truth. There's truth in the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost will reveal it if you ask him. They know that their action don't line up with the Word of God, but they don't feel you have the right to call them out. Maybe they know something about you that will not line up either. And you see, that's why we are asked to let our light so shine and do the right thing, because it's the right thing to do, because it could hinder our ministry of teaching, of ministry of whatever. We have these things in our lives that we haven't taken care of. So how are we going to have the audacity to tell somebody else something? Some people are so self-righteousness that they believe they have arrived, and everyone else's sins are always worse than theirs. They even say, I'm not as bad as them. I don't do everything wrong she do. Oh, she really sins. But you see, we must use the Word of God as the measuring stick. Don't measure yourself up against your neighbor or your oldest sister or anything like that. You got to line your character up with Jesus Christ, and then you'll know where you stand. God gave Jesus to us as an example of how to live. He walked the earth 3 years, teaching and preaching and revealing what is right. So we can't measure ourselves up to the next person. Oh, I know more than her. And these type of things. And, you know, some people forget how they used to be. Because, you see, we could be judging babes in Christ. Or we could be judging people who haven't got to the same level as you. You know, you know, sometimes you might think, well, they need to be further than that. You're not in control of that. God didn't even ask you to speak on that. Because wherever anybody is, the Bible teaches us to meet them where they are. I don't care how old they are. I don't care how long they've been on a battlefield. But where they are is where they are. You see, the Bible commands that we are not to judge others. But it does not mean we got to throw our discernment out the window. You see, but we use wisdom and have an insight of the truth that you can say that a sin is a sin. You see, knowing right from wrong can help guide us in discernment in reference to the truth. You see, when Jesus said not to judge others, he didn't mean that no one can identify sin for what it is based on God's description of sin. There's so many times the spirit of judgment will come in. Many times you could talk to people in a church and they'll say, oh, the pastor should have did it this way, judging. Well, he didn't have the right to do it that way. We might say, you know, he could have did it this way and it's better. You see, all that's a part of the spirit of judgment. And we have probably did it so long till we don't realize what we are doing. But I thank God tonight for his word. You know, if you is used to doing these kind of things, it's going to pop up because it's what Satan wants us to do. Somebody might get up to give a word. And some of the judgment that you do, you don't say it out loud, but you entertain it in your head, and you entertain it in your spirit. They didn't do that good. But we should do what we are asked to do, begin to pray for the person and ask God to help them and guide them, just like we ask God to help us. We can judge the sin, but love the person, always showing compassion and praying for them. But before we pray for them, before we think about it, the spirit of judgmental has come in there. And we begin to judge, just like your friend. Remember, everyone don't grow at the same time or mature in the things of God as fast as others. We must be patient with one another because someone was patient with us until we received and truly believed and turned around. Romans 3:23 says, all have fallen short of the glory of God. And that is true. And I went a little further in John 1:8-10. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar, and his word is not in us. You see, where you are today is not where you are when you first believed. But where you are now, you got there by growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Continue, because Christian growth makes the difference in our lives. I just want you to know that there are so many things that we are judgmental about. We judge some people clothes they wear. We judge the way they handle the word of God. We judge the leadership of many people. And when we start judging like that, we are really almost saying, if not saying, believe we got more information than them and that we got all of the answers and how we stayed and what we do is right and they're wrong. That's a spirit that will vex your soul. And like I say, we do it so long, and Satan, he just pull it up to us every chance he get because he know that's our M.O. We have to stop judging one another and begin to pray for each other. You see, we should be praying for the weakness of others. We can't win souls by judging, but with unconditional love. This does not mean that a Christian should never exercise judgment of any kind under any circumstances. So let's not get it twisted. The point being made here is that we are not to judge the inner motive of a person. See, we judge. We don't know their motives, not truly, but we go on and judge them anyway. You see, we are not to render a verdict based on prejudiced information either. Nor are we to use ourselves as the standard of judgment for which we measure, we shall be judged. You see, when we point out the sins of others while we ourselves commit the same sins, we condemn ourselves, y'all. This is encouragement for us to get in a tight line with God. You see, you condemn yourself teaching on things you haven't achieved or accomplished in your life. You see, Galatians 6 and 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are in the household of faith. Titus 3 and 2 through 3 says, and it goes a little further, because it says, look what it says, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawler, but gentle, sharing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceivers, serving divers' lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, being hateful and hating one another. You see, it is the merciful who will be shown mercy. That's in Matthew 5 and 7. And self-righteous judgment is wrong, as if you are all that. Sin is sin. All sin can be forgiven except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You see, others look at your sin as if it's so large and place theirs in a smaller category. Y'all know they have people coming in, oh, the homosexual is an abomination unto God. They're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And the same person may be committing adultery. They all sexual sin. The other person who may be saying that out their mouth might not be married and sleeping with somebody, and that's fornication. So that's just a good example of what's being done. Number 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swans, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rent you. You see, it's brutal to try to teach holy concepts to people who don't want to listen and will only tear apart what you say. You have to remember that not everyone will accept the gift of salvation. God didn't ever tell you you could save somebody. You shed a word and you keep it moving. We should be wise and discerning in what we teach to whom, so that we will never be wasting our time. You have to know your audience. They will do what dogs do. See, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a pig, once it's clean, they first order of business is to return to the slough. Mark 6 and 11 said, whosoever shall not receive me. So for these people they was just talking about, I found the scripture in Mark 6 and 11 that says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart hence, dust shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. You bring it, you try. If they don't want to receive it, you keep it moving. Some people love the sins that they are in, and God has turned them over to a reprobated mind. This phrase represented is found in Romans 1 and 28. And it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. They're not godly. They're not profitable. But God allow you to continue in your sin. You got to remember that God is all-knowing. And he knew before the foundation of the world who would accept him and who wouldn't. It's not that he chose who would be saved and who wouldn't, but he knew who would accept his gift, and he knew who wouldn't. See, this is those who God has rejected as godless and wicked. They surpass the truth by their wickedness, and it is upon these people that the wrath of God is going to rest. Verse 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. Asking it shall be given unto you. Seeking ye shall find. Knocking it shall open unto you. For everyone that asks it, receive it. And he that seeketh, find it. And to him that knoweth, that knocketh, it shall be opened. For what man is there of you whom, if his son asks for bread, you would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, you would give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things unto them that ask him? God used the example of a good earthly father trying to do everything for his children. Usually whatever they ask, he try to give it to them. God said, how much more you think I am than him? You see, Jesus tell us to persist in pursuing God. People could give up after the few half-hearted efforts and conclude that God cannot be found. But God said, I will never leave or forsake you. Knowing God takes faith and focus and follow through and patience. God is not on our timeline, y'all. Don't give up on your efforts to seek God. Pray and continue to ask him for more knowledge, patience, wisdom, love, and understanding. He will give them to you. And always remember that it's not our will, but it's God's will. And please don't ever give up on God, because he'll never give up on you. Verse 12. Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For it is the law and the prophets. It's saying if you could just treat everybody right, you would have covered all of the laws and the prophets. By just doing what you're supposed to do, because it's the right thing to do. This here is what many call in the world today the golden rules. Do unto others that they would have them do unto, as you would have them do unto you. People universally demand respect, love, and appreciation, whether they deserve it or not. Jesus understood this desire and used it to prompt godly behavior. Jesus gave two commandments when he was asked what was the greatest out of the ten. He said, love the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do you want to be shown respect? Then respect others. Do you crave a kind word? Well, then you should speak words of kindness to others. If we follow the golden rule, there would be no need for the 10 o'clock news. Learn to give what you expect, y'all. Stop looking for things you're not willing to give. Remember, you can only get what you are willing to give. And you can only reap that which you have sown. The word of God is teaching us on tonight. And it's letting us know that God is the righteous judge. I ask everybody to think in their mind areas where they may be judgmental of others. And I ask you to see when it's done going forward and call it out as what it is and ask God to remove that spirit, because that spirit keeps you from being humble. You cannot be humble and judgmental at the same time. You could hinder your blessings by being judgmental. And after being judgmental like that, like Job's friends, God judged them and they was gonna be in hot water. And you don't realize that some of the people you're judging could be some of the same people that has to pray for you. So we have to be conscious. And I'm gonna close with this tonight. Matthew 7:21-23. It said, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father, which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And verse 23. And then will I profess unto them, saying, Jesus, I never knew you. You depart from me, ye that work iniquity. God is saying, we can't know the inner motives of people. You know, we see somebody and they doing what we think is necessary to enter the kingdom of God, but we can't see their heart. And then we could see someone that we feel not doing what God wants us to do, and you figure they're not going to be saved. Jesus is saying in his verses, some who you think will be, they won't. Because you remember, we have to go back to the original thing of how you accepted Christ. Did you truly accept him? Did you turn your ways? Many people, well, I ain't going to say many because I don't know that, but some people who maybe went through the motion was only going through the motion and they not saved. This scripture let us know that. Because we have to remember about the plan of salvation. You see, it's never just what we say or do. God looks at the intent, the attitude, and the heart to make his judgments. God made all of us. He knows what we're working with. He's all-knowing. And it has been said that some you will be looking for, you won't be able to find. And while looking for those who you trying to find, you cross over so many that you thought wasn't going to be there. So I say this lesson tonight to let us know that God, hallelujah, God has the final judgment and all that is to be judged. And when I'm speaking of judgmental, I'm just trying to get us to see that, you know, we got to stop it if you're doing it. But I'll say it like this. I know there's some areas that I have to work on and stop. I don't know about you, but I know there is. And I thank God for the revelation to me about being judgmental. And some people, They always judging something. They be the first one to say, well, I can't judge nobody. You know, I can't judge who's saved and not saved. Well, that's a true one. But we go around judging people and we don't know the motive. Sometimes something happened in our lives and we get mad with the person. And we don't even know the motive that was backing it up. We don't know what was going on with that person. You know, we don't have all of that information, but yet we immediately judge them. And sometimes it caused you to fall out with the person. And you see, being judgmental to a specific person, if you continue to be judgmental, it could hinder your forgiveness towards them. But people often judge and have judgmental spirits. So we got to let go and let God. And our way would be made straight. And that's the lesson for tonight. Any questions, comments, or concern at this time? Caller, your number is 615. Your mic open.
Okay. How you doing, sister?
I'm doing fine, my brother.
Good, good. I would like to make a few points, several points, if you don't mind. But I'm going
to
go fast.
We have the time.
Okay. First, when you talked about Job and judgment, that's when God was with them. But the difference between them and us, God was with them, but now God is in us. And God is in us because of the sacrifice of Christ. And so when you look at in Matthew, as you brought out so brilliantly, you know, in the fifth chapter, God thank us for our sacrifice and who we are. The sixth chapter, we're taught, you know, all this, the Sermon on the Mount. The seventh chapter is the last part of the Sermon on the Mount. The sixth chapter is we are reminded who God is. But in the seventh chapter, we are taught who we should be. And so the only person that you really should judge is yourself. You know, it talks about why worry about the splinter in your brother's eye when you have a beam in your eye. So it's saying that you should focus on making yourself better. In Christ, in the sacrifice, well, in Jesus, because when you say Christ, it just means the anointing. And then all of us are anointed because you talked about John. And if you would have went a little further, John 1 and 16, it talks about, and now you are. If you, for those who believe, are sons and I say daughters of the Most High God. But nevertheless, coming back to the seventh chapter, and that's why I started off saying, judge not by the same as you judge, so you be judged. But we've been judged by Christ. We've been washed by the blood of Christ, and we've been made whole in the sacrifice of Christ. And so the only person that you really can judge is yourself. Am I better today than I was yesterday? What can I do tomorrow better than what I've done today? And that's why they talk about the beam and the beam and the splinter, because you're so busy worrying about your brother. Sister, now, like you said, sometimes if you see somebody doing something, you see somebody walking out in the street and a car is coming, you're going to say, hey, a car is coming. So, you know, so in love, we're supposed to help each other. You also spoke about grace. Grace is unmerited favor, which is never taken back. So I personally, and it's just me, now I'm saying this, I can back it up with scripture, but I'm saying we can't, like you talked about, we can't save nobody. You talked about that. I like that. We can't save nobody. We all been saved by the sacrifice that was made. Now, the thing is that most of us don't understand that, so we don't embrace it. Because even, you know, Jesus said when they wanted to stone him, Jesus said, For what of my works do you wish to stone me for? And it said, for making yourself equal to God. With God, he said, well, isn't it written in your law that you are God's? So I think once we start focusing on, if we pay attention to the seventh chapter, and I really love that you went on to 21 through 23, but I like to go to 24, you know, where it talks about a house built on sand and on a solid foundation. But I like how you pointed out the things. But if we really get what the seventh chapter Matthew is saying, it's saying you is your responsibility to get yourself together. If we look at, you know, where you talked about, you know, we talk about the Great Commission in Matthew. Never was we told to go out and judge. We was told to do what? To go out and spread the good news. What's the good news? That you've been delivered by God. Guess if we suppose we're supposed to be speaking a word of salvation, not a word of damnation. And so you know, when we look at people and we pass judgment on people in particular, when they're doing something, we think, I like that you brought about homosexuality. You know, most of us don't agree with it, but we can't condemn nobody. Because if you look in Galatians, where Paul talks about the fruits of the Spirit, but he also, before that, he talks about all the negativity that destroy humanity. And if you don't find yourself in there, you're not existing on the planet. But anyway, thank you for the lesson and for the teaching. But I think one of the most important things that we have to walk away with tonight is knowing that this seventh chapter represents us, getting us together, that we can do the true work of the Most High Creator. Because, again, God was with them, but God now says, my desire to live in the inward part of you, in our heart. So God is in us. So when we act, we have to act godly. We have to be godly, because Jesus says that in Psalms 82 and 6, that God said that we are gods. No, not the Most High. But so when you say Christ, Christ is not a name. Christ is a title. So are you a Christ? Are you anointed? And if you're not anointed, you can't do this work. Again, I'll stop there, sister. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And God bless you, and God's strength and peace be with you.
Thank you so much, my brother. And like I started off, and I say, once I started studying and where God was bringing me, I thought of a judgmental spirit, not so much as judging. Well, that too, which was brought out, someone's salvation, who's saved and not, and who's a good Christian and a bad Christian. Just the spirit of judgmental that we have in our mind, we got to rebuke. So I wanted, you know, that to just be brought out as well. Thank you so much, my brother.
Thank you. Amen.
Callie, Eric, go to 678. Your mic is open.
I just wanted to say thank you, woman of God, for being obedient to the Spirit and to deliver the messages directed by the Holy Spirit. I enjoyed it. And may God come back into you, which you poured out to us on tonight. In Jesus' name, I pray, amen, and thank God.
Amen. Thank you, my sister. Anyone else have anything they would like to say at this time? God is affording an opportunity. God has given us this forum where we could talk, ask questions. I've even offered many times, if someone would like to bring the word, just let me know. And on a Wednesday night, you could bring the word. God is training his people, and he established the training grounds. And on this line, I can't never say that I know it all. And we are just pressing, and God, you know, hopefully is pleased with the work that we are doing. But it's a, you know, Jesus left and said he go to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we will be also. So, you know, heaven is a prepared place, or where Jesus is going to bring us is going to be a prepared place for prepared people. But God is using the opportunity on earth to be our preparation period. And we have to, we learn, we grow, we glow, and then we show and we continue over and over, because, you know, we're going to be doing and living in this church age until Jesus come back again. We're living in a church age, and it's going to be until Jesus come back. But until then, we have to keep pressing and doing and growing in things of God. We get new revelation daily by the Holy Spirit. And some things we didn't understand clearly. But I think they had somewhere in the Bible say it is like you'll be looking in a mirror. And the mirror that they had, they didn't have the glass mirrors, but it was tin. But they say it'll get brighter and brighter as the day go on. And you could begin to see more and more clearly. And I thank God for that. And I thank God for each and every one of you taking time out of your schedule. If anyone would like to do a benediction at this time, you could press the one button on your phone. Well, I'll just say this. May the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. And may the grace of God shine bright on you. And that we all begin to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us how not to be judgmental of others. We can't judge by appearance only. And we shouldn't judge by what others had said about someone else, because that happens too. But let us be clean in our thoughts and in the area of being judgmental towards others, because it's going to give us joy. You see, that just brings confusion in our mind. We have to take out the junk from the trunks and keep it moving. So if that's it for tonight, I say God bless each and every one of you until next Wednesday. If it's your desire and it's the will of God, we'll meet back at that time. So until then, everybody be blessed. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Good night.